Greetings. It is Monday, March 13th, 2017, and this is Maitri, Wabi Sabi Woman, coming to you from the coast of North Carolina. Well, it is at the beginning of a week that I have been dreading because I have a medical procedure on Wednesday and kind of a cleanse, get ready day tomorrow, so I'm just about off and out today to get the things that I need and to drop off paperwork from my taxes and to do some things that need to be done. So I am nervous about a lot of what's coming up this week, but I'm okay. And I have been deep in thought this morning as I have been spending a lot of time lately thinking about the work that I'm going to be doing, and a lot of interesting things came up for me. I have been doing over the last many years all kinds of work that I love and that I have made some money doing and that I thought might be part of building a work life. And as I've taken a deep look here lately, I have been kind of surprised at what's coming up for me. That some of the things that I thought might be part of my work are things that I love in a hobby sort of way. Among them, drawing, painting, visual arts, even my fiber work, which I did very seriously for a very long time, hand spinning art yarns, making fiber art pieces, and other things that just were part of my soul. I really, really loved them. But when it comes down to what is the work that I really need to be doing, I look at my days and what the things are that I'm most drawn to, that I spend the most time doing, and that I have such a deep connection to. It's beyond work. It's not a hobby. They are the sacred elements of my life. And in that regard, they are the parts and pieces that I need to weave together to create this business that I'm working on now. And those things are writing, communicating with others, really listening and responding, teaching, and maybe, yes, even returning to doing some mentoring again. These are the things that are my real deep soul work. And some of this has come as a big surprise to me. So on this week when there's a lot going on and I'm kind of nervous and kind of scared, some really deep things are coming up. And sometimes that's the way it goes. In the middle of everything, there is a little glint on the water that we see shining. And when we take a good close look at it, we can be surprised at what's there right before us all along. So I will be working at discovering more about that as time goes on. And I thought that I would share a little bit with you about May Sarton and meeting May, as I spoke about yesterday, because it was truly one of those rare instances of getting really to meet in life the person that has been your muse through their work, usually from afar. Almost always you never meet them. You're just inspired by them and you read their books or look at their art or read about them and their lives, and you just feel so inspired as though you would love to meet them, but you know that you never will. Well, I had been reading and rereading May's books for decades and teaching them in my writing classes. My students loved her too. And she was getting to be an older woman. And I thought, I don't need anything from her, but I wanted her to know how much I loved and appreciated her work and how much she meant to me. So I wrote her, I guess the equivalent of a fan letter, but I wrote her all about my life and the ways in which she had been important to me, and specifically about some of her books that had been life-changing for me and had really supported me through many things that I had gone through in my life. And I had, at one point in time, I had had a rubber stamp business, you know, art stamps, and I had collected a lot of rubber stamps, and I had one that said, "Guilt-free mail, no reply expected." And I put that on the outside of the envelope and sent it off and forgot all about it. And some time went by, and my mother was visiting. I had younger children at the time that I was homeschooling. And I went out to do some errands, and when I came back in, my mother said, kind of in a hissy fit sort of a way, "The rudest woman called and left a message for you." And I said, "Really? Who was that?" And she said, "Let me look. I've written it down." And she said, "Her name is May Sarton, and she left her number, but said she wanted you to call her back, but don't call between 1 and 3 because that's when she takes her nap." And she was very firm about that. And I just was thunderstruck. You could have knocked me over with a feather. And I was a nervous wreck, but I made that call, and it started a friendship that would last for the last years of her life. And we never met face to face, but we spent a lot of time on the phone with one another. And if you've read May's books, you know that she wrote a lot about gardening, and she loved the fact that I gardened. And so it would tickle me when I would be out in the garden and one of my kids would call out, "Mom, it's May Sarton on the phone." You never got tired of hearing that, and it never stopped being a surprise. She was very, very dear and very encouraging about my writing. She read some of my writing and liked it very much and really encouraged me to continue on. She said we were as if sisters. And at that time, I was home raising children, but I so longed for the kind of solitude that she wrote about, and I told her that, and she said, "You're more like me than you realize, and one day you're going to discover that." Little did I know that the day would come that I would be divorced, my children grown, and I would be living alone, a life of solitude and silence with my animal companions, gardening as I did for a very long time and as May did, and writing. And in June 1995, I got Bell's palsy, and in July 1995, May passed. And I spoke to her 3 weeks before she died, and her voice was very small, barely above a whisper. And we had a very dear conversation, short and sweet and lovely, and that was the last time I talked to her, and then she was gone. And I've found, even after the fire and having some books returned, I found quite startling. Just a couple of months ago, I opened one of her books that she had given me as a gift, and out of it fell a letter she had written to me. She wrote me letters. Her handwriting was just illegible practically, but it delighted me no end to get them. And so that was meeting my muse and carrying her with me still to this day into my own silence and solitude and writing. So that's that story that I wanted to share with you. And At the beginning of this week, I am sending you my love, and I'm wishing you well. Farewell, dear friend.